Letter Rip Productions presents Sharing Our Stories, Tales of Resilience and Renewal. Written and narrated by Rick Gilbert.
This is Rick Gilbert. This audiobook is dedicated to Mary McGlynn and Katie McGlynn Gilbert, whose love and support nurtures me. Their contributions to the content of this book have helped to give it soul.
Sharing Our Stories, Tales of Resilience and Renewal. What I fear most is that my life will go unnoticed. That quote is from a man in northern Siberia who was featured in a film called Life in a Day 2020, a mass snapshot of humanity. We all fear that our lives won't matter. 100 years from now, maybe just 50, who will even remember that I lived or care? This is where stories come in. Stories may not bring us immortality, but they sure as hell help to give our lives meaning, and most importantly, connection with other people. This book is about stories. Stories of how people make the journey from cradle to grave. Introduction. It was 1:30 a.m. in front of the 7-Eleven. The Oakland cop stood between two men with guns, a drug dealer who wanted his money, and a crazed dope fiend who wanted his fix. The cop, Carl Johnson, did his best to calm down the situation. As he spoke softly, he slowly pulled his Smith & Wesson out of its holster. He thought, if this gets ugly, who do I shoot first? The crazed junkie or the greedy drug dealer? Carl Johnson's story is one of many tales in this audiobook of how we negotiate the arc of our lives. In Sharing Our Stories, 65 people share stories of their lives surviving and thriving the journey from cradle to grave. This is not fiction. This is not pretend. In this audiobook, you will hear the stories of real CEOs, iron workers, musicians, including Chris Brubeck, a therapist, a performance artist, entrepreneurs, Navy fighter pilots, Anna Eshoo, a member of Congress, a professor, a radio personality, athletes, a physician, and two political activists, Gloria Steinem and Daniel Ellsberg. The stories are told by them in their own voices. Every story is real. These are real people. This audiobook is rough. It is not recorded in a top-of-the-line recording studio with sound baffles and $2,500 microphones. No, no. This has been recorded on street corners, at cocktail parties, in office buildings, in motel rooms, in my live theater performances, and on the farm at family reunions. Sometimes over a Zoom call. Sometimes with nothing more fancy than my iPhone. What it lacks in professional smoothness, it makes up for in passion and spontaneity. This book is not a self-help book, nor is it about self-actualization or motivation or personal development at all. It is about amazing stories that will make you think, will entertain you, will make you laugh. It is designed to be a page-turner, even though there are no pages. Warning: this book will make you late for meetings, because you'll sit in your car waiting to hear how the story ends. Overview: this book is divided into three parts, matching the flow of our lives: childhood, adulthood, and elderhood. The people I've interviewed here reflect on how they've managed to get through these various life phases. It is all about the stories. Hollywood scriptwriter Robert McKee one time said, "A culture cannot evolve without honest, powerful storytelling. When storytelling goes bad, the result is decadence." To give you a flavor for the kind of stories that are in store for you in this book, I'd like to introduce you to two of my audio stars. The first is the story of Brad Webb, a former sailor with the America's Cup racing team. And the second is the story of Anne Sally, a street vendor selling her handmade knit caps on the boardwalk in Santa Cruz. Suddenly, Brad Webb found himself bobbing up and down in the icy waters of the Newport, Rhode Island harbor. He had just been washed overboard off the deck of his America's Cup racing yacht. Horrified, he looked up to see the chase boat bearing down on him. The referees in the boat were focused on the race and didn't see him bobbing up and down in the water. They didn't realize they were about ready to run over him. The first thing he thought about was the props on that big boat and that they were about ready to chop off his legs. Here's how he describes it.
Just this wall of water came over the bow and I couldn't hold on. And I just got flushed. I got flushed straight over the side. And I kind of popped up as the boat was going by, and the boats were going super fast. And the boat was kind of bearing down on me dead straight. And I just thought, okay, I've got one shot here to go one way or the other. And as the boat just got to me, it just started to kind of veer off to my right. So I kind of rolled to my left and pulled my feet right up to me. And as the boat kind of came bore down on me, I put my feet up against the side as the boat kind of touched my feet. And as the boat touched my feet, I just pushed off as hard as I could, kind of down and away, and then pulled my feet right in because I knew the props were going to be coming through, you know, right after the boat came through. I was waiting for the chop. I was waiting for the props to be, you know, essentially slice my legs off. But it obviously missed and went right by me, and I kind of popped up and kind of turned, and I delivered a fair amount of colorful language to the people on the boat that was going by, and the boats were going super fast.
Brad said that on that day, the wind was so strong and the waves so high, it was like trying to sail your boat in a washing machine. What an adventure. Anne Sally. The spontaneity of the interviews in this book is demonstrated by my meeting with Anne Sally selling her beautiful knit caps on the boardwalk in Santa Cruz. She was sitting on the sidewalk and had a blanket laid out with her hats all nicely arranged by color and sizes. She told me about her interest in Rasta and simple living. What a great story for my blog, I thought. So I pulled out my iPhone and I asked her if I could interview her. She agreed and off we went. I sent her a copy of the interview. Then, 2 years later, I interviewed her again. This time she went deeper and talked about her concern for ecology and only using threads of the highest quality.
There's different benefits to each type of yarn that I use, but I really like to use more and more natural yarn. And I also have used organic cotton yarn, which I think is a really good material, because even though regular cotton is a natural fiber and is not produced with petroleum like acrylic yarn, it's produced with a lot of pesticides that still come from petroleum and are damaging to the soils and water and, you know, our health. So I'm looking to get more organic cotton yarn, and I think wool is a good, sustainable, ecological yarn. And then a lot of my yarn I try to buy not brand new from the stores, and I never buy yarn at, you know, stores that I really don't believe in, like Walmart and stuff, but I get it from different stores, sometimes from smaller stores. It's just hard. The price of really fine quality yarn makes the price of the hat higher, which is less accessible to everyone. So I like to keep the price affordable. Yeah, I mean, it's my art, and I feel strongly about the most I can do to minimize my impact and be sustainable and live simply, like the saying goes, so that others may simply live.
It's a nice quote. Say it again.
Live simply so that others may simply live.
I put the second interview up on my blog and sent her a copy of it, and then she sent me the nicest letter. Wow, thank you, Rick. That was really cool. I appreciate your will to find the deeper reasons behind what we do in life. The video was a good reminder to me to stay committed to my values. I've been having great and beautiful experiences with people who I meet selling recently. The human interaction is really important to me. Hope to see you again soon. What I love about that interview is the total improv quality of it. I'm on the boardwalk. Here's this interesting person. With my iPhone, boom, we do an interview. This kind of street interview is a little bit like jazz. It's exciting because we see creativity as it happens, and we don't know where it's going to take us. I hope the stories in this book stir up memories for you. My goal is that this is a collaboration between you and me and the storytelling stars of the book. If something comes up that strikes a memory for you, pay attention. You might even write it down. A recent study found that people who write down their life stories improve their self-esteem. So how about that? This book is a two-for-one. You get entertainment, I hope. And if you do some writing about your story, maybe boost your self-esteem.